under the covering of our safe fathers. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privileged opportunity to share your word again with your precious people, whom you have invested so much in. Blessed be your name as you grant us, under the covering of our safe fathers, unprecedented open heavens, the visions of our God, that your word will come expressly unto us, and your hand will rest upon us and be stretched forth, O Lord our God, to confirm your word with signs and wonders. Thank you, O Lord our God, as you cause your word to come unto us like rivers of living waters, bringing refreshing, bringing encouragement, bringing strength, bringing transformation, and every other good and perfect thing that you have ordained for us tonight in the outworking of your purposes in our lives. We bless your name. We give you glory. We are asking for a mighty operation of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of God, so that our eyes will be flooded with light of the glory of our God, to know you better and to know your ways better and to walk in them better. Thank you, Lord our God, by this word, as you empower us, O Lord, to be more submissive in our will to the will of God, and to be more tempered in our emotions by the fruit of the Spirit, so that, Lord, we become more like Jesus and we grow up in Him, unto Him in all things, reflecting His glory as you have ordained us of us. We bless your name, Father. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. As I share the word tonight, I pray that you have mercy on me. You help me to minister as your oracle, the exact word of God, with concision and precision and accuracy, that will minister in the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit, in power, causing us all to be doers of the word, not hearers alone, that may be blessed and we may be profited, and our profiting may appear. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name, as you also cause this word to bring refreshing to our spiritual parents, so that they will see the travail of their souls in our lives and they'll be satisfied. We give you glory, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21 to verse 28. Let's read together. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciple came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou willest. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. Now, there are four characters we want to consider in this story. Four characters that we want to consider in this story. The first characters are the ones I'll call the dogs. The second I will call the children. And the third are the disciples. And the fourth is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The dogs, the children, the disciples, and the Son. Now, in verse 22, the Bible tells us that this woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And in verse 26, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus answered her after she prayed him, Lord, help me. He said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And in verse 27, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumb which fall from their master's table. From this story, we see that this woman, the Canaanite woman, or who the Bible calls the Syrophoenician woman in another gospel, and her daughter were referred to as dogs by the Lord. Why? They are without covenant with God. They are sinners, they are unbelievers, or what they call Gentiles according to the flesh. But the most important thing is, they are without covenant with God. They had no relationship with God. And it was based on that, the Lord was not going to answer her. Now let's go to the children. In verse 24, we are mentioning four characters. In verse 24, the Lord just said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then in verse 26, he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. Now, here the Lord refers to those that are not born again as dogs. And those that are born again as children. Those that have a covenant with God as children. And he said, the bread is for the children. And in another place, he said, before we can even give anything to the dogs at all, the children must first be filled and satisfied. Now let's go to the next one, the disciples. In verse 23, we see the disciples. Now, the Bible says in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. And the disciple came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cried after us." Now, the disciples are children too, but they are higher level of children. They are children of God or saints who have forsaken all to follow the Son, to become like Him in all things, and ultimately to be perfect like Him, mature than Him, and inherit His glory, yet dispute without measure. Then finally, the fourth character is the Son Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was who the woman came to. That was who the woman was pleading with. He called him, in verse 22, he called him Lord, Son of David. Say, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now, the significant thing is that the Lord did not answer. Why? Because it's a legal issue. The anointing that is upon him is to minister bread to the children. But the Bible says this woman, Jesus provoked her by telling her the truth. I can't give you what you want. Actually, this woman's daughter was mad. That's the real, you know, when you say vexed with the devil, you don't get the picture. The woman's daughter has lost her senses. A devil has run her mad. And the compassion, she wants solution, and she has seen Jesus bringing deliverance to many, but she wasn't aware that there was a covenant issue behind it. But Jesus said, "It is not me," that's verse 26. He answered and said, "It is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And the woman agreed with the Lord. "I'm a dog. I don't have any relationship with God. I'm not qualified for what I'm asking for. But at least the dogs, they even eat the crumbs that fall from the table." And the Bible says in verse 28, Jesus said, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole. That means the devil was, you know, cast out, and the child came back to his senses. Now, we want to consider these four characters. Actually, my objective in this message is to encourage us to wholly follow the Son, the Lord Jesus, as disciples, and follow Him unto perfection and maturity, and make every effort using the keys that we have been given to grow up to become like Him in all things, so that ultimately we will inherit this glory that is imminent. Now, the dogs cannot even take the bread, let alone smell of the glory. Now, doesn't God have a plan for the dogs? He has a plan for them. But the plan is that they should call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Do you know that woman was not actually looking for salvation? He wasn't looking for a relationship with God. She was looking for a solution to her problem. But God always works within the framework of a covenant. Jesus said, "I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that is seed of Abraham." Okay, so Let's first of all consider this character, the dog that I said about. Now, like I said, the best the dogs can get with his or her great faith is crumbs. Even though the Lord Jesus called it great faith, the best you got was what? Crumbs. And after the crumbs, the dog is still not in the kingdom. So at the end of it, the dog will still perish. Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, then verse 11 to 12. Okay. He said, and you, can we read together? And you, as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all have our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he has loved us, verse 5, even when we are dead in our sins, are quickened us together with Christ, and by his grace we are saved. Before we go to 11, now, he's describing us, every one of us, that's what we were before. We were all dogs. Amen. We were all dogs. We were all dead in our sins and in our transgressions. We were children of disobedience and children of wrath. And the devil was controlling our life here and there. But God in his love had mercy on us when we call upon his son. Let's read verse 11. Therefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. Verse 12. That at that time you are without Christ. Now he's describing the life of the dog. At that time you are without Christ. You are without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are without his anointing. The crumbs we are talking about is the anointing that will deliver the child. Even though it was figuratively, he's talking about and the anointing that is along the Lord Jesus Christ that he will release to break the yoke of the devil upon the life of the daughter who was bound. So, without Christ, no access to the anointing. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. So the dog is hopeless and is separate from God, is without God. So it's food for the devil. Thank God that we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we are no more dogs. But the truth here is that we must have compassion for those that are not saved. They are without hope. Hopeless. There is no future, both temporal and eternal, for the dogs. The Bible says they are like brute beasts, made to be destroyed. But thank God, we had the gospel. We believe in it, and we call upon the name of the Lord, and we are saved. Does God have plans for dogs? Yes. What is his plan? 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 3 and 4. Okay. For this is good. Pastor Dave shared about this when he was teaching us. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Two things are there. Salvation and discipleship unto perfection and fullness of Christ. That word knowledge of the truth is epignosis of the truth. But that is the plan that God has for dogs. But what must happen? He must come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He must believe in his heart and confess Jesus as his Lord and Savior so that he can be saved. Let's read Romans chapter 10, 9 to 10. Romans chapter 10, just what the dogs, unbelievers, sinners has to do. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Very simple. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in him, and confess him as Lord and Savior, and he will move from dog to a child. He will move from without hope to hope. Hope of glory. Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will move without God. Amen. To covenant with God. Amen. Now, remember Cornelius. Cornelius was a dog. But God had mercy on him. Let's read Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. How did God have mercy on him? By sending him the word. This man was given arms always, and he was praying always. God looked at his heart, like Pastor Todd said, other sheep do I have? We are not of this world. God looked at his heart and saw that he has a good heart, honest heart, but nevertheless, he's still a dog. Amen. But honest heart, like Pastor has taught us, always attract the mercy of God. So the mercy of God sent an angel to him. The mercy of God did what? Send an angel to him. He said, "Ha, well, God has seen the honesty of your heart. He has seen the hands you are giving. He has seen the prayers that you are praying. Well, they have come up for a memorial for you so that God wants to remember you today in mercy. Now, send to Joppa. Send for one man called Peter. When you come, he will tell you words wherein you'll be saved." So when Peter came, he told him the words. He and his household. And they believed. And because they believed, the Holy Ghost came out. They were born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and all that instantly. So, God has plan for dogs. And that's why we must give God no rest until everybody in our household, whether nuclear or standard or round about us, amen, is still a dog. You must have passion for all the dogs that are round about you. The issue dog is not derogatory. That is who they are spiritually. Just like a dog has no hope. If a car is going on and eat a dog, will you arrest the car for eating the dog? But if you hit a man. So, amen. God wants to have mercy on them and is going to use us to have mercy on them. Let's go to the second characters. The children. The children. the children, those are those that have accepted him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as who? As their Lord and Savior, who has made a covenant with him. And Jesus himself said, the bread is for the children. That means the anointing I carry, the anointing without measure which the Lord has given to me, is for me to minister to the children, minister to their needs, minister to their wants by covenant. They don't have to beg for it. Of course, they should ask for it in faith, but they don't have to beg for it. Amen. Thank you, sir. I've been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the children, the righteous forsaking or the seed begging for bread. Example, Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 17. There was one woman that came into the temple or into the synagogue. The Bible says she was bent like this and she could nowhere lift herself up. And immediately she came in, the Bible said the Lord Jesus called her and looked at her and said, woman, daughter, actually he called her daughter. Daughter is a reference name for children. Daughter, you are loosed from thy infirmity. And the Bible says she was made straight that day. Incidentally, the leaders of the synagogue were not happy about that matter. Number one, it was Sabbath. They said he was doing work on that day. Now, he reproved them. But what we want to bring out was that it was not that woman that asked for deliverance. It was not that woman that asked for bread. It was the Lord that called, come and eat your food. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed, whom Satan has bound for 18 years. Why was the children bound? Because they were ignorant of their covenant. My people perish for lack of knowledge. But what we are bringing out is that the bread is for children. Amen. 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 Now, the bread is the anointing that handles the healing of the children, the health of the children, their deliverance, their freedom, their victory, their prosperity. Amen. The children themselves actually receive an earnest of that anointing when they were made children. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. In whom you also trusted, after you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14. Who is the harness of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of God's glory. The children were given a measure of the anointing when they gave their life to the Lord. They were actually sealed. It is their inheritance. It is for them for asking. That's why in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he said, if you, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to his children who has the harness is for the children. Amen. Now, the bread or the harness of the Spirit is good. It's good for children, but it's not good enough in God's sight. He wants the children to get the fullness of the purchased possession. Ephesians chapter 1 again, verse 14. The harness was given so that they can labor with the harness and grow with it so that they can get the fullness. He said, which is the harness of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until we get the fullness of the inheritance. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. This spirit without measure that we've been talking about is our inheritance. We must not be satisfied with just the bread, with just the harness. Is the harness good? Yes. Jesus said, this sign will follow them that believe. Those that have the harness, in my name they will cast out their devils. So the harness will cast out devil. In my name they will speak in tongues. The harness will speak in tongues. Abi, in my name, if they take any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The harness will heal the sick, and they will recover. But with God, that is not enough. Because His plan is not for us to remain as children. Because the best the children can get with their great faith is still the harness. Bread. You know, Jesus said, bread is for the children. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Let's go on. And if children, we are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And if so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. Verse 18. And I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. God wants us to transit from children to be disciples who forsake all to follow the Lord. In perfection, unto perfection and fullness, and to become like Him in all things, so that we can be ready to inherit the fullness. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, even though it is the plan of God for the children to inherit the fullness of their inheritance, they will never get it until they grow up. And growth is not going to come if you don't take up the discipline of a disciple. Let's read Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, 2. Let's read verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, is not a dog, he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be the Lord of all. But unto tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That's a time appointed. That time is tied to the child's growth. It's not chronological time. So, bread or the harness of the spirit is good for the children, but it's not good enough in God's sight. He wants the children to be disciples who continue in the word, who learns the truth of the Lord so that the truth can set them free, so that they can go on to sonship and obtain the fullness of the Spirit. God will not be satisfied until He has sons What God is looking for is sons. In the story we read at the beginning, the dogs did not have the fullness of the Spirit. The children did not have it. The disciples did not have it. Only the son had it. And the calling of God is to bring all to sonship. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Okay. It says, for it became him. Let's read together. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So why did he give us the son? Why did the son suffer? Is to make a way for us to follow him as disciples, so that he can bring us as sons unto glory. Amen. Let's read Ephesians 4, let's start from verse 11. Actually, need verse 14 and 15, but to get the context, let's start from verse 11. And he gave some, let's read, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, that's the children, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come. How many people are coming? So that's the plan for all the children. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, which is the verse I actually need. That we henceforth be no more children. Is it good to be a child? Yes, but it's not good enough for God to remain a child. Amen. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So all children can grow up into the Son in all things. Let me repeat that. All children of God can grow up into the Son in all things. And he gave the way, speaking the truth in love. Amen. Amen. So God will not be satisfied until he has sons. Well, I want to talk about the fourth character now. I will come back to the third character. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to paint him very well in the canvas of our heart before I come to the third character. Because it is discipleship that translates children to sonship. Did you get that? The Bible says it is enough for the disciple to be what? Luke chapter 6 verse 40. I think I got that quotation right. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone shall be perfect as his master. So what translates the children to be like their master is to follow their master as a disciple. How do you know that it's not every saint that is a disciple? Amen. It's not every saint that is a disciple. Amen. Let's talk about this fourth character. We'll come back to the disciple, which is the third character, before we conclude. Now, the fourth character is the son. We see the son here. Amen. He's fully matured, perfect, and he has inherited the fullness of the Spirit. In fact, God has said concerning him, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased." And to attest to it, the Spirit came and remained upon him. And that Spirit that inherited is the anointing with which he's now ministering to the children. And is now, amen, given as a demonstration for the disciples to follow, to become like him. Amen. So, the son is the one that has the bread to minister, the crumbs to minister, and the glory to minister. He has been entrusted with the Spirit without measure, because his meat is to do the will of God and finish it. That's the mark of sonship. Let's read John. The mark of sonship is his meat is to do the will of God. John chapter 4, verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Amen. We saw that characteristic demonstrated at Garden of Gethsemane. The only important thing to the Son is the will of God. Amen. Is the will of God. Let's read John chapter 3, verse 34 to 35. This is talking about the Son. "For he whom God has sent speaketh the word of God, words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Verse 35. "The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hand." The Father can entrust all his property, his treasures, unto the Son. That's why the heir will not inherit his inheritance until the time appointed of the Father. The time appointed of the Father is when the Father says, "Ah, you have come unto sonship. Now, you can administer the Spirit without measure." Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. We are looking at the characteristics of the Son now. There are so many characteristics that we can pick out before we come back to the Hebrews chapter 6. No, chapter 5. Sorry. Verse 7 to 9. "We in the days of his flesh, when he have offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was hard in that he feared." Verse 8. "And though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." Verse 9. "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." He showed us in this place the characteristic of the Son, the way he prays. is lifestyle of obedience. The Bible says, you have not resisted sin unto death. That's the Son. Unto blood. He obeyed even though he had to suffer. But by that he became an author of eternal salvation. Amen. Let's look at how he grew to be Son, to become the Son. Luke chapter 2. Verse 51 to 52. I know we are familiar with these scriptures, but we are bringing out certain things so that we can know them and arise and commit ourselves to the discipline of the Christ life. The Bible said he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these things, all these things in her heart. Verse 52. And he increased in wisdom. I didn't hear you. And he increased. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, favor with God, and favor with men. So he grew. But the growth came out of subjection, out of submission. Submission was a lifestyle of the Son. Like we said, there's only one thing. His meat is to do the will of God. To do the will of God means submission. Either directly or whoever God places over you. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. We are looking at the characteristics of the Son, so that we can go in his footsteps. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. That means he has to fulfill a condition before he got that spirit without measure. He wasn't just given because he was the Son of God in the flesh. You know the character? He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Another version says wickedness. Characteristics of the Son. Amen. The Father is only well pleased with the Son. It's only the Son that the Father is well pleased with. He said that when the Spirit was coming upon him. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Is the father pleased with the children? Is the father pleased with the dog? The father is only well pleased with the son. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5. Moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant, how that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. That's baptism. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse. And did all eat the spiritual meat, the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Let's go on. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Yes. Let's go on. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 7. Neither be idolaters as some were of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 323,000. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, were destroyed the serpent. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. All this happened unto them for an example, and they are written for admonition upon whom the end of the world is come. Amen. Now, all those people he described, they were children of God. They did not wholly follow the Lord. They did not take up the disciplines of a disciple. That was what distinguished Joshua and Caleb in this generation. So, is the father pleased with children at the beginning if they are growing? But if they are not going on unto maturity, unto sonship, the father is not pleased with them. In fact, he is not well pleased with them, and there is the danger of being overthrown. It is written for us for an admonition. Okay. Amen. We are looking at the characteristics of the son. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Who or what is leading you? Is it the Spirit? Or is it the flesh? Or is it men? Or is it the devil using men and the flesh? The characteristic of the sonship is following the leading of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And the Bible says, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Who led him to be tempted? Amen. Why must he be tempted? Why must he be tested? It must be proven in the sight of all that is worthy of that anointing that we want to give to him. Do you get it? So the Spirit led him to be tempted. Ever me don't wo. Can't prove me. Is worthy. That's why you will not get that Spirit without measure, without being tempted, without being led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Like we said when we were talking about Elisha, he will lead you to Jordan, where you will die to self, and beyond Jordan, where you will inherit the glory. When he wanted to talk about Peter, when he was going, he explained, he said, Peter, when you are young, you go where you want. That's not being led by the Spirit. You want to do something, you do it. That's a child. Amen. Amen. But if you are going to go on to sonship, a day will come when you will say, thank you, sir. Like Paul. They wanted to go to Bethany and God said no. They wanted to go to the Spirit suffered them not. Then they said, okay, go to Macedonia. And he led them to be beaten up into the wilderness. But thank God, amen. That church is one of the strongest churches in the New Testament. That church was the church that supported him most and sent him on his apostolic journey. Amen. They were born in the crucible of affliction. Out of the furnace of affliction, I've chosen you. Amen. We are talking about the characteristics of the son. John chapter 12, verse 18. That's about Peter. When you are young, that's a stage in which you pass as student. But you get to a place, you don't do what you want to do again. Even if you, that's, you know, we take that that confession. Even when I don't feel like it, that's humility. It's not whether you like it or not, that is, what is the will of God? What does God want us to do? Then you submit and you obey. And you suffer whatever you need to suffer in the obedience. That's the process to go to sonship. Amen. So it takes, we now go to the third character. That's the character that is between the children and the son, disciples. Amen. What's the mark of the disciple? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It's also repeated in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Let's look at it. Jesus said, unto who? Let's read it now. Jesus said, unto who? His disciples. If any man will come after me, number one, let him do what? Number two, let him do what? And number three, let him. Amen. Discipleship is a commitment to deny yourself of your own interest, of your own pleasure, of your own desires, and take the cross of praying with all kind of prayer in the Spirit to crucify all of them so that you can follow the Lord. Did you get it? Amen. Amen. Let's read Luke chapter 14. We are on the third character now. We will soon be rounding up. 14, 26, 27, and 33. I said Luke, I believe. Luke chapter 14. Now, who is talking here? If any man, let's read it. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and yea, his own life also, he cannot. Someone say cannot. Say cannot. He cannot be my disciple. No, pastor has explained this to us. It's not saying you should hate your husband or you hate your wife. It says that relative to the Lord, all of them are secondary in your life. Amen. Even your own life, you are secondary. Amen. Let's read it again. Let's read it together. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So being the disciple means the Lord must come first. He must be number one, like Pastor Kunle normally say. He must be number one. So you can check yourself. Who is number one actually? Verse 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Amen. What is the cross? You see, the cross is an instrument to kill the person that is carrying it. That's literally, Abi. The person that carried the cross, do you understand me? Always end up dead. Amen. He's going to the place of death. He's going to Jordan. Amen. And there's only one way by which you can. That's by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Pastor has taught us that. You take up your cross daily. Pray with all kind of prayer in the Spirit to crucify the lust and affection of that flesh. Romans chapter 10. Did I get it? Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Let's explain the cross. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. So you are carrying that cross for the lower aspect of you to die, so that the divine aspect of you can come alive. The reason why we have not seen the manifestation of the sons of God is because, amen, like John the Baptist said, he said, I must decrease. So that, and it's the cross that will bring that. It must be carried daily by the power of the Spirit. Amen. 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 Verse 33. Luke 14, 33. Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he had, he cannot be my disciple. Now, does it mean you are going to pack everything and go and put it somewhere? And it means, like mommy said, when everything in the house sold. So when God said, I want this, did you get it? In principle, nothing is your own. You have left all to follow the Lord. That's what Peter said. He said, Master, we have left all to follow you. That's the mark of discipleship. Amen. Amen. Okay. The disciples must wholly follow the Lord until they become like him in all things. Let's see something that happened in the scripture that we read. That account, Matthew 15 and 23. Let's see how the disciples behaved at the beginning. Did you know that they said, Jesus, you send that woman away? That was at the beginning of their days. They didn't know the path they are treading. You know, Jesus didn't send the woman away. Jesus only gave the woman a reason. That if the woman can scale. At the beginning of these disciples' life, they didn't know that they were actually called to carry the anointing to minister, both to the dogs, to the children, and to everybody. You are not to send anybody away. But they eventually got it. Amen. By the time they followed him and they inherit in Acts of Apostles, amen, they didn't send anybody away again. Okay. Let's begin to round up. What we have simply said about these four characters is this. Crumbs may be good enough for the dogs. He may be happy that his daughter is delivered, but God is not satisfied. The crumbs is not good enough in God's sight. He wants the dogs to be saved and become children. Bread may be good for the children, But as far as God is concerned, it's not good enough in his sight. He wants the children to be disciples, to inherit the glory of the Son. Amen. Mommy has been sharing a word, say, bring meat into my house. Bring meat into my house. What actually is meat in God's sight? In God's presence, prophetically now. Meat is whatever pleases God and glorifies name. That's what Jesus said, using his word to interpret. John chapter 4, verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him who has sent me and to finish it. That's the characteristics of sons. So sons are the meat that God wants in his house. He wants a household of sons. Amen. So when he said that there will be meat in my house, he's asking for sons that will do all his will and finish it. Amen. Because it's sons that can carry the glory, that will finish his work. Take the gospel of the kingdom unto the ends of the earth for a witness, and the end will come. John chapter 8, verse 29. We are looking at the Son, who is the meat that is pleasing to God. So, John chapter 8, verse 29. Look at the Lord Jesus. And he that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Why? I do always those things that please him. That's sonship. John chapter 3, verse 2. We now know why the Father was with Jesus all the way. It wasn't because he was the Son of God in the flesh. It was because he did always those things that pleased the Father. That's what is called us. John chapter 3, verse 2. Then the same came to Jesus by night. Who is that? Nicodemus. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no man can do this miracle that thou doest except God be with him. So the presence of God, or the fullness of God's presence with a man, is actually the Spirit without measure. And the way the Son got it is by doing always the things. They saw the manifestation of it in miracles, but we know how he was led by the Spirit and he was doing. His only passion is the will of God. Amen. 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 So God wants meat in his house. What does God want? So let's take up our cross as disciples. Let's crucify all the lust and affection of our flesh. Let's let go of all our pleasures. Let's embrace the will of God, his pleasure, and follow the Lord. Thank you. Strong me belongs unto those who are full age. Hebrews chapter 5, sir, verse 14. Amen. I was trying to round up, sir. Amen. Meat that God wants in his house is what? Those that will please him, who are sons. It's only the Son that God is well pleased with. So all those that conform to the image of the Son will be well pleasing to God. That's our calling. That's what He has called us unto. Amen. That will be conformed to the image of the Son. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Okay, let's read the whole context. 13. Let's read 13 first before we get to strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's still a babe. Child. It's not pleasing God. He's still unskillful as he should. Verse 14. For strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between evil and good. Amen. Let's stand on our feet and let's talk to God. It's time to be meat that is pleasant and glorifying to God, so that the Father can be with us. So that in this appointed time, if we follow to the end, we can hear the glory that He has prepared for Son, even under a spiritual covering. There is a longing only You can still.
A raging tempest only You can still. My soul is fast below to know You as I know.
Drink from this river that flows before Your throne. Take me deeper in love with You. Jesus, hold me close in Your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love You more and more.
I
long to be deeper in love. There is a longing.
There is a longing
only You can feel.
A raging tempest
only You can still.
My soul is thirsty, Lord, to know You as I know.
Drink from this river that flows before Your throne.
Take me deeper
than I've ever with You.
Jesus, hold me close in Your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love You more and more. How I long to be deeper in love.
Second stanza. Morning by morning.
Sunrise to sunrise, I will seek Your face. Drawn by Your Spirit to the promise of Your grace. My heart has found in You a hope that will abide. Here in Your presence,
Satisfied until he has sons that is well pleased. Let's talk to God. Lord, take me deeper. The crumbs are not enough for me. The bread is not enough for me. I want to be a strong meat that will bring pleasure. We are pleasing unto you and glorify your name. Let's commit ourselves afresh. To deny ourselves, to take up this cross. Of dying to ourselves. Of seeking first the kingdom, the Lord Himself. Let's commit ourselves to wholly follow the Son in His path of submission, in His path of meekness and lowliness of heart, according to the example that He has laid up for us, His path of prayer. In the path of doing always those things that are pleasing to the Father. Can you give me Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14 on the board? We want to pray that scriptures for ourselves. That's our God. Shall pray and say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, for this curse of going unto sonship, of being meat in your house that are pleasing unto you, we bow our knees to you. O Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you will grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, that speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things unto Christ, who is the head. Thank you, Father, for doing exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think, according to your power that worketh in us. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit over this. Je clerebo kupa rabababa je dududuba mekorobasa mekaragabo je katakali kapa rabababa je dukali rikataya rikopalia rabababa kote katakali koto rabababa kupala bakate koto rabakapa makatoke likapa rabababa je kete clerebo je kete clerebo bade baya broma kuria zade kapa kuria gale gaya gade Mikare mikaya mikotende kapalia rabababababababa ayako teke likopa rababobobaya bakose keteke likopo rabakapalabaya rabakopale bakote keteke te rabababababaya rabababababababa ayadoteye doba dodobaya barude rabababababa Je que te clair vous makato pa mikate mikato mikara mikopa breko pale braka poria je que te clair vous soto mikata kapro. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall